hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
This is the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. You're hearing the voice of Jeremy Gillen. And as we know, the responsibility of the fan is to first and foremost love their team. That's why I'm taking the guesswork out and getting the insights from the experts themselves. Today, we're interviewing Stillwater legend Joel Penfield. Welcome to the first week of October, Joel. Welcome to spooky season.
Man, it's crazy how fast football season's going. It feels like it just started, and now we're already over a third of the way through the season. And before we know it, it's bowl time and then a long-ass offseason.
Yeah, for you guys, it feels pretty great. Right now, it feels like a horror movie where both my Achilles tendons have been clipped, and I'm trying to crawl my way up a pair of stairs to get back to, you know, some sense of safety. Joel, I usually ask a random question to spark the mind, but I noticed on your Twitter that you cover the minor league system of the Kansas City Royals. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Does the name Brian Poldberg ring any bells to you?
It does not at the moment.
Okay. Brian Poldberg is a coach for the Omaha Storm Chasers, which is a minor league affiliate of Kansas City Royals. And I would just like to say, hey, Brian, can't wait to see you at the next reunion. I'm still an Astros fan, so get over it, but love what you're doing. All right. Joel is the voice of the Cowboys Ride for Free podcast. So to catch up on everything Oklahoma State, be sure to pursue his content. Joel, I brought you on today to give us the insight past the box score. Let's open it up simply. Outside of a close loss to Texas in Austin, what is the state of the Cowboys fan base after taking down a strong Kansas State team?
So I'd say overall, we feel pretty good about where we're at right now. And even though it sucks to lose that game against Texas, because if you watch that game, Oklahoma State had opportunity after opportunity to take the lead and to really make a huge statement win in Austin. And they kept fumbling the game just like Texas tried to. So it was a tough loss. But right now, sitting at 4-1, Oklahoma State just got ranked. I believe we're number 21 in the country now. We have a redshirt freshman quarterback who is still trying to find his feet. But, I mean, if you've seen any highlights of him, I mean, he has some elite tools and some elite talent. So I'd say right now the offense is, you know, looks pretty good when you have Chuba Hubbard, the leading rusher by a mile in the country. You have Tylan Wallace, a fantastic receiver, an improved offensive line. They actually our offensive line coach, in case you didn't know, is Charlie Dickey, who was at K-State under Bill Snyder for a number of years. His coaching has shown an immediate impact for Oklahoma State. Offensive line has looked the best we've seen in years. It's been the best since Joe Wick line back in those 2011, 2012 teams at Oklahoma State that were really, really strong. On the defensive side of the ball, it's been kind of Jekyll and Hyde. We've seen some games like we had the fantastic four quarters against Kansas State. But you had a horrendous first half and against Texas, horrendous first half against Tulsa. And then they find ways in the second half to adjust and have played solid at times and have shown some flashes of how good they can be. K-State was really the first time we've seen a really good defensive performance from Oklahoma State in over the course of four quarters. It was really one of the better defensive performances I've seen in the last 5 or 6 years from an Oklahoma State team.
So going along with your metaphor, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which, in your opinion, is the better Oklahoma State defense?
Oh, man. I'm going to take pretty much what I saw from Kansas State with a grain of salt, because a lot of what Oklahoma State was able to do was just capitalize on really terrible play calling from Kansas State. Oklahoma State, I've went back and watched the game, and there were a lot of times where Oklahoma State had 8 guys within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage. They were not respecting Kansas State and Skylar Thompson's ability to throw the ball. And they just kept running right into the teeth of the Oklahoma State defense, and Skylar Thompson couldn't throw the ball more than 5 yards downfield consistently. So I think that's what a lot of what we saw, but Oklahoma State didn't let K-State do anything they weren't trying to do. So I'll take that. But I think we're going to see an average defense, and even if Oklahoma State's defense is average at best, they're going to be able to keep themselves in games, because I think their offense is good enough to win them some games. And I think we'll see that as the season rolls along, as Spencer Sanders continues to get more comfortable. I feel like, like I said, if Oklahoma State's defense is average, it's good enough to at least get Oklahoma State to 8-9 wins this season. And I said 8-4 coming into the season, and I still feel like that's a really good spot. I feel a little bit better about this team moving forward. And I think 9 wins is probably realistic if the defense kind of stays on the trajectory they're on.
Fantastic. Well, I didn't want to interrupt you, but what I meant was, do you see the Dr. Jekyll part of that, the better defense or the Mr. Hyde? Because originally, like when you think about that metaphor, it's Dr. Jekyll is the smart, wimpy doctor, like scientist, but then Mr. Hyde's this big, burly beast of a man. Like I didn't know which way you're going, which was the better one. I imagine, like, for Texas Tech fans, I think we would just like the Mr. Hyde. I don't care if you're, like, doing it well, as long as we're just big, burly, and getting it done. I think that's where we...
I'd say, obviously, I would love to see that, but am I realistic enough to think that that's going to happen? No, because, we've seen flashes of how good Oklahoma State's defense can be, but we've also seen Texas run the same play for 15 plays in a row and get 6-7 yards. Saw Tulsa just look like OU's offense, you know, for periods of time in that game. So I'm optimistic that the defense is going to get better, but I'm not counting on it because I've seen Oklahoma State defenses have games like that and then turn around and then get boat raced the next week.
I guess that's fair. Well, right now, Oklahoma State opens up as a 10-point favorite over Texas Tech in Lubbock. Remember that it is an 11 a.m. game, our favorite time. Red Raider fans, everybody get excited for your cup of coffee with bourbon. I got to say, it feels a little low. Oklahoma State has beat the spread in all 5 of their previous games, so there's a strong possibility, I believe, that they do the same against a struggling Texas Tech team this week. So let's talk offensive weapons, Joel. Can you tell us a little bit more about what Oklahoma State is bringing to the table? I know you kind of mentioned Spencer Sanders, Chuba Hubbard. Let's elaborate on what these guys mean to this offensive scheme.
So Spencer Sanders, as I mentioned, redshirt freshman. If you were in the Dallas-Fort Worth area a few years ago, he was Mr. Football and State of Texas Gatorade Player of the Year and all that. So the fan base was really clamoring for him to play last year instead of Taylor Cornelius, but he wasn't ready. And Mike Gundy, and we all, you know, I believe Mike Gundy the whole time of they were going to play the guy that gave them the best chance to win. And that was what Taylor Cornelius provided. This season, we see it with Spencer Sanders. And the reason why he's playing and not Drew Brown is his legs are his best weapon right now. He can make plays out of the pocket. He can extend plays. He can just flat out run by you. He's one of the fastest quarterbacks I've seen in the Big 12 in a while. I mean, we saw Kyler Murray last year, but I mean, Spencer Sanders' legs are an impressive weapon. And, you know, his throwing is getting there. He's got an elite arm. He can make any throw on the field. It's just decision-making for him. So it's kind of just cerebral right now. And for only playing 5 games, he's been impressive. He's shown improvement. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of that with him playing. I think the most impressive thing for me is his demeanor on the field is pretty even keel. He just goes out there and plays. He doesn't let mistakes get to him. He just continues to go and grind and keep making plays. And that mentality as a redshirt freshman is extremely impressive. As I mentioned, Chuba Hubbard has been awesome for this offense. We knew going into the season how talented he was when he took over for Justice Hill toward the end of the year when Hill got hurt. And Hill was a fantastic running back. But Chuba just has this ability to run between the tackles and be strong and then just sprinter speed. And if he gets to the second level and no one's touched him, he's gone. And we saw that against Kansas State, really putting the game away with an 84-yard run. He actually leads the country in 10-plus yard runs, 20, 30, 40, all the way up to 80-yard runs. So you can see how impressive he is. He's one of the best backs in the country for sure. And I feel like he's starting to get the credit that he deserves. Tylan Wallace has had a great year, but he's really been the only guy that we've seen Spencer Sanders have chemistry with. So they kind of force feed him the ball a little bit, but you can do that when you have a great receiver. I want to see how Oklahoma State this week continues to get Jordan McRae, who's a grad transfer, Dylan Stoner, who's a redshirt junior, I believe, Landon Wolf, and others involved in the offense as well. And as I mentioned, the offensive line has been much improved, and I think they're able to keep Spencer Sanders upright. They're able to open holes for Chuba Hubbard. And last week, what was so impressive is we were missing our starting left tackle in Dylan Galloway and our starting right tackle in Tevin Jenkins, and we're still able to have run for 378 yards on the game.
Yeah, certainly an impressive rushing outing by Oklahoma State. I would imagine that at this point, most people are pegging you guys for a rushing team, but Texas Tech fans will recognize you as a team with passing potential. All right, Joel. So Spencer Sanders, Mr. Texas Football in 2017. For brownie points, do you know who else in the Big 12 is a recipient of the Mr. Texas Football Award?
No.
It's Jed Duffy. Texas Tech quarterback number one, Jed Duffy in 2015. So the greatest...
to be fair, I'm from Kansas City, so I was not as familiar with Texas football until I moved a little bit further south for school.
It's a pretty obscure reward. It's on the peripheral of most people's things, but this is a interesting game where two Mr. Texas Football Award recipients will be going facing off against each other. And it's funny you should mention about Sanders, his passing ability being more cerebral and just kind of leaning into it. I think this is what Texas Tech fans can take a lot of stock in. Last year, when we saw Jed Duffy, there's a lot of familiarity with it. With, you know, he can be an absolute athlete, and the award speaks for itself. But at the same time, decision making at times can be difficult, and the turnover game can be an absolute battle throughout the season. So I imagine Sanders is going to be a great quarterback going forward for the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Just if you ask any Texas Tech fan, I guess the motto at this point is just hang in there. But so I'm interested to see Oklahoma State utilize a lot more of their wide receiver game. There's certainly a lot of weapons there when I look at the depth chart. But as long as Chuba Hubbard just keeps being this absolute monster of a running back that he is, there's really no need to get wide receivers. So let's talk about, so Texas Tech is 79th in rushing defense, 35th in passing defense. Joel, do you think that the Oklahoma State offense matches up well against this Red Raider defense? If you're Seth Gleason or Sean Gleason, why did I say Seth? How are you preparing to exploit a Texas Tech defense that struggles against the run?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's if it ain't broke, don't fix it. When you have a feature back like Chuba Hubbard that you can hand the ball to. And I mean, even in the game where people want to give him a bunch of crap, you know, I know Oklahoma State a bunch of crap for giving him 37 carries against Texas. He still was able to run for 121 yards. Like, he's going to get his yards no matter how many times you give him the ball. He just happened to break off a few more chunk plays against Kansas State that made it look a little bit better. I would expect that Oklahoma State continues to run as much as, you know, we've seen some air raid guys come through in Oklahoma State, you know, have guys like Brandon Whedon and Mason Rudolph that are make Oklahoma State a pass first team. Mike Gundy likes to run the ball, and so does Sean Gleason. So that's going to be the feature of the offense. And Spencer Sanders is just going to continue to marginally improve. And I think we'll see the passing game implemented a little bit more. But I would imagine just because Texas Tech hasn't been great against the run this season, we see more of that. But I still think Oklahoma State's going to throw the ball, you know, 20, 25 times, and maybe even a little bit more. But I think because you have a quarterback in Spencer Sanders where his legs are a weapon as well, you don't have to rely on just Chuba Hubbard to take the ball and get young running yards, rushing yards.
Yeah, seems simple enough. But because we love to play devil advocate here, put yourself in our defensive coordinator Keith Patterson's shoes. How do you prepare for an Oklahoma State offense that seems built to destroy your defense?
I mean, I would pretty much do what Oklahoma State did to Kansas State and just load the box and force Spencer Sanders to throw and force him into decisions that he doesn't want to make. A lot of what we've seen from Spencer Sanders is he makes the right read, but he makes it about a second or two late, and the ball gets intercepted, or it's just a little bit off schedule and it doesn't work. So force him into making those types of decisions and mix up the coverage just enough that he can't quite see it in time. And you're going to, you know, you're probably going to get a turnover, or you're going to force Oklahoma State to punt. You're going to be able to stay in the game. I would imagine that we're probably going to see a loaded box. Teams have tried to do that against Oklahoma State. Tulsa did it for a little bit, but Chuba still ran for 220. You know, Texas did it and forced Spencer to throw, and he had two or three picks. So we've kind of seen both sides of it. I think Oklahoma State's still going to get their rushing yards even against the loaded box because of how dynamic Chuba Hubbard is, how dynamic Spencer Sanders is. But I would imagine they're just going to try and force Spencer to throw and make Oklahoma State win the game on his shoulder.
Man, well, if it doesn't work out with us, I guess we'll just pick you up as our next defensive coordinator. So let's go ahead and make the switch to defense for the Cowboys, a team ranked 98th in rushing defense and 82nd in passing defense. Joel, what is going on for the defensive side of things?
It's pretty much been the tale of two halves in that game against Tulsa and against Texas. For the first time all season, we saw four quarters of dominance against a good team. I'm not going to count the game against McNeese State because that was whatever. But against a Power 5 opponent, for the first time, we saw a really solid performance against Kansas State. the secondary has been the problem with Oklahoma State is they're just really thin at a few spots. At defensive line, it's just a thin position. I think we really have six or seven guys we rotate in. And Jim Knowles came in to run the 4-2-5. But we don't have the guys to run that defense right now because we're so thin there. We've switched to a 3-3-5, and we started to kind of mix up looks a little bit where it's almost like a 3-4, you know, 3-4-4 and some other things just to try and keep guys fresh and not just run guys into the ground with a four-man front. So the linebackers are getting healthy. At the beginning of the season, Malcolm Rodriguez, who was a safety last season, moved down to linebacker, and he's been fantastic alongside Amen Ogbonga-Miga, who's really had a breakout season as a junior this year and is one of the leading tacklers on the team, along with Rodriguez. Senior Devin Harper got healthy, and he started to see some more time last week after getting some minimal snaps against Texas. And there are rumblings where we don't know for sure, but maybe we think Calvin Bundage might be back, the senior linebacker who's just a wrecking ball of a man that just will go and hit anyone with reckless abandon. And if he's healthy, then you have full linebackers back. And the safeties and the corners, it's a young group at safety, experienced at corner. And I think we're starting to see everyone kind of gel together. And I think the defense is going to get better as the season goes on. I think we're starting to get healthy. And at this point of the season, that's huge, especially when you were able to get fresh guys in there and you're able to kind of offset some of the fatigue that we've seen at times in that Tulsa and that Texas game.
So speaking to the current rankings, you imagine that these, with everything coming together, like you said, you imagine that the rankings will increase, or I should say decrease, but in a good way, over the course of the season?
Yeah, I'd say the defense is going to get better. Now, I don't expect Oklahoma State to try to have a top 20 defense. It's just not going to happen. You're a Big 12 team. You got athletes all over the field on both sides. Like, teams are going to get their points, and it's going to happen. But I think if they can get into the 50s or 60s, which I think might be a little bit unrealistic at this point, just from a sample size perspective, because you have five games, if they can just continue to improve week to week, then I think I feel a lot better about where this team is at right now, because you're not having to solely rely on your offense, because right now it's just not quite there yet.
Yeah, and that's really all you can ask for is continual improvement. We definitely understand that. Right now, all signs point towards Jet Duffy remaining quarterback number one on the roster. So now put yourself in Jim Knowles' shoes. How do you game plan against this Texas Tech offense with a viable dual threat behind center and a surprisingly strong running game?
I would pretty much do what you did last week. You know, you have a guy in Skylar Thompson who had a pretty solid first few weeks, but he looked lost at times against Oklahoma State. And there were multiple videos, and I'll plug this, another Oklahoma State podcast called Tape Doesn't Lie. And they break down the game. It's two guys that are brilliant X's and O's guys, Adam Lunt and Mitch Gift. And they found multiple times where Skylar Thompson ran out of a clean pocket because he wasn't comfortable throwing the ball. And Jet Duffy is an okay thrower of the ball, but obviously his legs are his best weapon. So I would probably expect to see a 7 or 8 man box most of the game and force Jet Duffy to throw. So in this game, you essentially have two running, you know, dual threat quarterbacks, and we're probably going to see defenses that are going to force them to throw. So the game could get ugly, but I would still give Oklahoma State the edge in this one over Jet Duffy and the Texas Tech offense.
Nothing like the smell of an ugly game in the morning. Flipping the script, Texas Tech fans are absolutely livid with our offensive coordinator, David Yost, after a depressing outing against Oklahoma last week. How would you, as David Yost now, unfortunately, I'm sorry, man, game plan against this Oklahoma State defense? Where are the weak points here that Tech, and I am going to absolutely say it, that Tech has all the right talent to be a great team. But where do we capitalize with this Oklahoma State defense?
Even though I'm pretty much going to counter my previous point of I would continue to try and run the ball because, like you said, Oklahoma State's 92nd in run defense. Even though you had a good game against Kansas State, you know, maybe at Kansas State was a little bit overhyped and, you know, they had an impressive win against Mississippi State. I even came into this game thinking K-State's a pretty solid team, but they really didn't show. They showed they're just not there yet. I would expect to see a run first sort of offense and force Oklahoma State to replicate their performance against Kansas State. And if Oklahoma State's able to do that, then I think they're able to win this game handily. If not, then we're going to be in for a dogfight in Lubbock, which is kind of what I expected coming into the season. I knew it was going to be a tough game. Even though this probably isn't the best Texas Tech team we're going to see in the next few years, it's always tough when Oklahoma State goes to Lubbock. It always is. So that's kind of what I expected coming into the season. But, you know, we'll see. I think it's going to be a run first game for both teams, which when you think back on previous Oklahoma State, Texas Tech games, that's never been the case.
Yeah, the conference is changing and not everybody is comfortable with it, but I am all about it. I know a lot of my other colleagues are about it. We're sold on this run game, and man, if I made a joke when we were still trying to figure out if Jackson Tyner or Jet Duffy should start, I remember walking into my work and I said, you know, honestly, guys, I think we should just go ahead, put Jet Duffy back there, do the whole Army thing and just run a triple option and just wear teams down, and maybe we'll keep it close enough to be exciting. But yeah, like I said, I think honestly right now Texas Tech's best option is running. And that's, I think the more we establish the run game and the more we establish Duffy's run threat, I think Oklahoma State might buy in more into that. And that would open up certainly some lanes for a number of our talented receivers to get open. Now, if Duffy decides to hit those receivers or not, that's completely up to him and his talent and how he's worked over the season. And we have no control over that, as you guys are probably familiar with Sanders, but it is what it is. Great. Well, and in addition to X's and O's, Joel, what are your keys to the game coming into this Saturday, and how do you see things shaking out?
So coming into this season, I thought Oklahoma State was going to lose this game. I actually predicted, we did a bunch of the staff writers, we all did our predictions for the season. I actually picked Oklahoma State to lose. But that was before the season started, when Alan Bowman was still starting quarterback. And I thought this game would probably end up being a night game, just because I felt like both teams would probably be around similar records and would work out that way. But that was what my prediction was predicated on. Coming into this game now, I think Oklahoma State is clearly the better team. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I think Oklahoma State's going to find a way to win. I think they're going to be able to build off of what they did last week and an impressive win against Kansas State, at least defensively. If the offense can continue to improve, Spencer Sanders can continue to get these, you know, the reps under his belt to become the starting quarterback we all think he can be. I think Oklahoma State wins this game by more than 10. I think it ends up being at least a 2-possession game. I wouldn't expect it to be more than that, just because I think it's a road game. Even though Mike Gundy likes his teams playing 11 a.m. games, because it's easy to get guys motivated at least early rather than them having to sit around all day for a night game. So that's kind of where I sit with it right now. If the defense can replicate their performance, at least marginally, of what they did against Kansas State, and the offense, Spencer Sanders continues to improve throwing the ball and they're able to get Chuba going, I think Texas Tech could be in for a long day.
Joel, that is intelligently depressing. Thank you very much for that.
I apologize that I have to come in and be that guy, but I just don't see Oklahoma State losing this game. I know you guys are hoping I'm really wrong, and I'm sure all, you know, Tech fans may think I'm bullshit, but that's just what I'm seeing right now.
But you got to own it. You got to own it. And under the surface, I know a lot of people are not going to disagree with you. There's definitely not a lot of signs that point towards good fortune for Texas Tech. A lot of points you made are really great. I think Oklahoma State has the definite advantage. Like I said at the very beginning, 10 points seems pretty low to me. So we'll see how it shakes up. Well, that will about do it for us today. If you've enjoyed this interview with Joel, then be sure to like, subscribe, give us some comments. We love all the feedback. Joel, is anything else you want to say? Where can people find your content? Do you have insight that's just infallible, like you can't miss it? Put it in now.
You can follow me at JT Penfield. If you want to follow Oklahoma State for any reason, you can follow us at Cowboys RFF, Cowboys Ride for Free. I also do, like I said, he mentioned at the beginning, I do work for Royals Farm Report, covering the Royals minor leagues. It's at Royals Farm on Twitter. I also do a little bit of baseball scouting work for 2080 Baseball at 2080 Ball on Twitter.
Guys, give him a follow. Give him a shout out. Tell him that he was wrong. Tell him he's full of shit. Why not? Especially when we win this Saturday. Be sure to follow him and troll the ever-living daylights out of him. Tell him that Jeremy sent you. You can also, of course, find previous and future episodes of the Air Raid podcast on your favorite streaming medium. For Joel and myself, this has been the Air Raid Podcast. Stay wrecked, people.